Grading.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I'm having technical issues here today. Not only that new computer I told you all I got wouldn't fire up for me today, finally did, and had a little trouble getting all of you in here in the queue, and Spence went in, fixed that thing up real good. So if you're tuning in, you can stop texting me and say, Coach, I can't get in. We're doing the best we can. You ought to be able to get in there now. I got some good stuff for us to share with. I want to do a little bit of housekeeping here real quick before we dive into this. I cut my teeth on talk radio, and on talk radio, if y'all listen to Rush Limbaugh and all that kind of stuff, y'all understand that they had a thing that was called a call screener, and the job of the call screener was to get a synopsis from the call. In other words, you would dial the radio station, and somebody would answer the phone. They'd say, pass the salt, and that would be the call screener. And the call screener would say, who are you? Say, well, I'm Jeff Nell, or Jeff. I'm Jeff and Fallon. And, okay, Jeff, what do you want to talk to Coach about? And Jeff would give a little synopsis. And then the call screener would say, okay, good. All right, Jeff, keep it short, whatever. So, then Limbaugh would be sitting there, and he'd be doing something. I'm Limbaugh, and he calls me. I was doing my show. I'd be doing something, and I looked down, and I saw the caller, and I saw the subject. And I knew what they wanted to talk about. And so then I was able to pattern the show and work in the caller rather than just bringing the caller in cold and saying, Jeff, you're up. And Jeff talks about something that we did 6 weeks ago when we're doing something new today. Now, not Jeff, but you get my point. So one of the struggles that I've been having, I don't even know if that sounds right. The show gets into a flow. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can discern the show is in the midst of a flow. And people get in and they want to comment, and I want people to be able to comment. But I said a couple things in the past, and I'm going to stick to them. Number one, tell us a story, not your life story. Tell us a story, not your life story. Because although your life story is important to you, it may not be that important to everybody else. Okay, I'm just saying it as nice as I can. And also, this would help too. You know, a lot of times when I watch the people raise their hands and they want to come in and talk, and I'm in the middle of my monologue, and I get 4 minutes into my monologue, and I look up, and there's six people that want to talk, my heart's immediately drawn to those six people who want to talk. But I'm in the midst of something, and I'm in the flow of something. And then I wait 5 minutes, and now we're 10 minutes into the show, and then I go back to the callers, and the caller wants to talk about something I talked about 10 minutes ago. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. So I just would say to all of you out there, just please be, aware of the flow of the show. Aware of the flow of the show. And I just think that when we get on we've been on a roll. We've been on some rocking topics, man. And let's stay on those topics. And if you remember, was it yesterday when I talked about have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness? And I got to, what are the unfruitful works of darkness? When I went to the calls, nobody told me what they were. They all had an opinion about something. I'm not making fun of your opinion. I'm not making fun of your opinion. The question was, what were the unfruitful works of darkness? I think maybe only one person said anything. And that changes the flow of the show. You with me? You guys understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I want you to come in. I want you to comment. But when we're in a flow of a show, let's try to stay in that flow. And then as the opportunity arises, see, that's why I don't have a call screener. Just hands come up and I see people and we call on them. And I'm not saying that what you have to say is not important. None of that. No, I'm with you. I'm for you. We're all on the same page. But just to help protect the flow of the show a little bit, I think just be cognizant of that, okay? I don't know if you – I didn't get it up on the website. Our Brighteon show yesterday that I did with Mike Heath yesterday, I think, is worth a watch. In fact, I'm going to have – I gave it to Jared to post today. If you guys didn't get a chance to see it, my Monday Brighteon show. And I want to go right there real quickly this morning. Is that where I want to go, Lord? Do I want to do that? I do. I want to get to that. Because we often hear – thanks for filling it up there, Spence. That's not – I really don't want you to play it. I was glad I got 500 views yesterday. Most people only get 50 or whatever. So I'm bragging. I was proud of that. What I want you to do, Spencer, I want you to click on Forbes, the Forbes.com list. That's right there before you. Because this is one of the things that Mike Heath and I spoke about yesterday. Actually, Mike Heath spoke yesterday, talked about Focus on the Family, Family Research Council, yada, 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 how they have become pretty much Republican first and Christian second. Somebody give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm talking about. They have a tendency to support the Republican Party over the righteousness of God. I'm not bashing Focus on the Family. I'm not bashing any of them. Okay. But we all, you know, we're doing the ChristianRevolution.net and we're doing the ChristianRevolution.net because we're trying to raise money to fight good. We say, who is fighting evil? Who's fighting evil? Who is fighting evil? That's the question we ask. We know who's funding evil. Who is funding good? And so I thought, well, guys, there's just not enough money. We're just not enough money. And then I had to gag myself yesterday when I went to Forbes magazine, went to America's Top Charities. Are you guys sitting down? America's Top Charities. Now, as we go down through this, I want you to think about we're in a war for the very soul of this nation, a Christian war. 100 largest charities last year, 2020, pulled in $49.5 billion. Now, I want to ask yourself, of those $49.5 billion, how much of that money is going to the cultural war? Not Focus on the Family, not prac, not the family. What's that one down in Don Wildman's group? A family association. No. I mean, family's important, okay? It says 11% of the $450 billion that was given to nonprofits in 2019. So it was down a little bit, right? But let's go down there, folks. You know, I'm out here begging, selling hats and T-shirts to try. I'm not asking you for money. Relax. Selling hats and T-shirts, trying to raise funds to be able to do what we do. And I got to this list of America's top charities in 2020. Are you ready? Are you guys sitting down? Can you make it right there, Spencer? Just freeze it right there. Can you make it a little bit bigger? Go back up to the top. We'll scroll down through it. United Way took in $4.1 billion. Feeding America took in $2.8 billion. Direct Relief took in $2 billion. See, these are all mercy ministries, I think. The Salvation Army took in $3.3 billion. You know, the Salvation Army they're not allowed because they're the charter. They're not allowed to share the gospel of Jesus when they give out their food. Probably didn't know that. St. Jude's, $2.2 billion. Habitat for Humanity, $2 billion. Are any of these guys fighting in the culture war? Are these guys here preventing injury or binding up wounds? What is going on here? Now, look, some of you are getting mad. I'm not criticizing them. I'm asking, is there an army here anywhere? Is there an army here anywhere to fight evil? Or is it all hospital-type things? Okay? YMCA, YMCA, $8 billion. They're not even Christian anymore, are they? Is the YMCA even Christian anymore? Compassion International, $1 billion. Huh? Compassion, there it is. I don't know what they do, but it's certainly compassion. Goodwill. Goodwill's a private organization. $4 billion Goodwill took in. Feed the poor. There it is. Mercy, 9.5. Has anybody seen an army yet? Anybody, anywhere, funding an army anywhere that you see yet? Feed the poor. Must be a lot of poor people. Man, they're poor people sure getting fed, aren't they? Task Force for Global Health, Wonder what they're saying about vaccines. $916 million. Lutheran Services, $22.6 billion they took in. The American Red Cross. Are you kidding me? $2.9 billion. World Vision, what is that? Catholic Charities, $4.4 billion. The American Cancer Society, what if we healed cancer? Would that society go away? Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, $754 million. Where are they in the cultural war? Where is he? Nature Conservancy, I don't even know what that is. Step up for student, never heard of it, $621 million. Mount Sinai Health, $7.7 billion. Planned Parenthood Federation of America, $1.6 billion. They're on the other side, aren't they? American Heart Association, $854. Hey, folks, you can check it out yourself. So it's very obvious to me that the money in America, there's no lack, shortage of money. There's a shortage of the full gospel. The full gospel.
Bam.
It's all love, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. Nothing prophetic at all. Nobody standing up and pushing back against darkness that I can see. I went to Focus on the Family personally. I went to their website. It's amazing how much. I'm sounding like a bah humbug, aren't I? I'm trying to show you what our problem is. Are the churches taking all the money they get? Are they engaging in the cultural war? Now, Focus on the Family is spending all this money to nurture the family. What's the church doing? Are we to believe that non-Christians are going to focus on the family? Is that what we're supposed to believe? The Family Research Council, are we supposed to believe that atheists are going to the Family Research Council? No shortage of money. No shortage of money. I'm going to switch gears here real quick. I had to show you that. Craig, come on in. Craig.
Yeah,
everybody,
Coach.
Everybody hold off a second, okay? I'll just let Craig get in here, Craig.
Yeah, Coach. I was helping this kid last week, man, and I went to one of those places, right, to find him some help, and it was the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army, all they did was offer this kid a seven-day motel package. I said, where's his food? Where's he going to get cleaned up? Where's he going to do all this? Well, we don't know what to tell you, but we'll house him for 7 days in a motel.
Yeah. Well, Craig, here's my issue this morning. Where is the Salvation Army in saving America? Where are they in that? Where is the Amen, Salvation Coach. Army in rescuing children out of the government education system? Where is the Salvation Army on that, right? You understand where I'm coming from? That's one of the things we spoke about yesterday on that the Brighteon show. I want to take you a different direction here this morning. I want you to go to, Spencer, if you pull up, the majesty of God. Pull up the majesty of God. I was prompted this morning. I'll be up front. I'm not real big into the book of Revelation. I don't go to the book of Revelation very much. Just don't. And by the way, if you open up your Bible, at least your King James Bible, when you ask people don't even... they don't even pronounce it right. They call it the Book of Revelations, or they call it the Revelations, whatever. Does anybody know the official name of the Book of Revelation, the Revelations? If you read in Revelations, I hear people say all the time. Does anybody know? Do anybody know the full title of the name of the Book of Revelation, which is right here in my King James Bible? I don't know if I could pull it up on the screen. It doesn't matter. You got to trust but verify. Does anybody know what the full name is of the book of Revelations? Anybody know?
Is it the Apocalypse?
It says the Revelation. Are you ready? The revealing. Revelation means revealing. The revealing. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's what the book of Revelation is, my friends. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ given to St. John. It's St. John revealing to his people who Jesus Christ is. He's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He's not a wounded Savior on a cross. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ revealed to John at the island of Patmos who he was, is who he is. And John wrote down the revelation of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is. We ought to all camp here a bit. Are you ready to go, Silver? Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. Well, here we go, Silver. Because we like to get into all the other stuff. Now, just sit down and ask yourself if the average Christian that you come in contact with today sees Jesus Christ as this. By the way, currently, right now, this is who he is. Go ahead, Joe.
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
What does it say, Joe?
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Is it the revelation of how the church is going to be in the end times? Is that what it says?
Not in that name. No.
So this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is. Okay, go ahead.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Okay, so the angel, Jesus wanted to be everybody know who he was. He sent his angel down, says, go down and tell John, and John, you write it, all right? With me? Go ahead.
Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
At hand means imminent, means at any moment. Doesn't mean like real soon. It means it could come at any time. It's imminent. Go ahead.
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Wow, what are those seven spirits before that throne? See, we read these things and don't even think about it, do we? Seven churches must have a spirit in each one of those churches, right? Keep going. Excuse me.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead.
Wow.
And the prince of the kings of the earth.
Wow. What about those guys? Hey, Joe, what about those guys in Psalm 2? What about those kings in Psalm 2? They bound to this guy or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. First begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Wow.
Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God.
I got to stop. Joe, is that present tense or past tense?
That be present.
It's past. And hath.
Oh, hath. Sorry. You're right, Pat.
And hath. He already made us kings and priests unto God. Go ahead.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Glory and dominion. What's dominion? Kingship, right? The book of Revelation, he's already king. He deserves all the dominion forever and ever. He already there. He made us kings and priests. Hath made us, past tense, hath made us, hath made Reggie and Joe and Randy and Roger. He's hath made us kings and priests. Verse 7.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
He's not going to need permission from Joe Biden to come. He's not going to need an edict from the Supreme Court to come. He's not going to need the House and the Senate to vote and allow him to come. The dude's coming. He's coming, right? And what's he going to say when he gets here?
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
What's that mean? Almighty. What does that mean, Almighty? Go ahead.
Almighty means Almighty.
Means that he's got all might, doesn't he? He's Almighty.
Yeah.
He's above the Supreme Court, right? He's above the Supreme Court.
Yes.
He's above what's her name? Kagan. He's above her.
Oh yeah.
I think he's above Kagan, Elena Kagan. Okay, go ahead.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom.
Whoa, Joe. Whoa, where is he?
Kingdom.
He's in the kingdom?
Yep.
I, John. John's not dead, is he? John's not in heaven, is he?
Nope.
No, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. In other words, I'm fighting through this crap too. And in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom, by the way, and I'm fighting through this crap. Go ahead.
And patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Wow. Listen.
Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Make sure all my churches get this message, he said.
And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man.
Wow.
Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
Wow. Hey, he's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Huh? He's not Mr. Rogers. He's not Joel Osteen.
His head and his hairs were white like wool.
Wow.
As white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire.
My goodness.
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace.
Mm.
And his voice as the sound of many waters.
Wow.
And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Are you guys getting this? Is this a picture hanging in your church?
And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid
open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch. Go ahead.
And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
First words he spoke, Joe. The first words he speak. Fear not.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Wow.
Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Spencer, go back up to the top. Well done, Joe. Love your voice. Give it to me when you die.
Yes, sir.
What's the first thing say there? Number one, what's the first thing?
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
We just saw Jesus Christ. Now, is that the image we have of him, folks? Is that the image that the average Christian has? And let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ comes knocking on your door dressed like that, are you going to cry out in repentance? Or are you going to run over and try to sit on his lap? Because it says right here that those who saw him, what happened to those who saw him? They ran and hid their face from him. We serve a righteous and a holy God. We dabble with sin. We mess around. And That's who he is right there. Take down your baby Jesus pictures out from under your Christmas tree. Pull down your crucifix off your church, Catholic church. Pull him off the wall. He ain't up on that cross anymore. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is here and now. Come on in, Roger. Maybe he didn't want it. Maybe he just had an accidental hand in the air there. All right? That's the majesty of God. The majesty of God. That's God that's on our side. That's it. That's our commander in chief. That's the guy we fight for. That's the guy we serve. That's the God that gives us marching orders. That's him. Eyes a flame of fire. Out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword. That's him right now. Right now. Flip Denham taught me a long time ago that you serve the God you see. There's no fear of the Lord in the land. There's no fear of him. We see the first person that sees him, what happens to him? Turns, runs his eyes, can he look at him? Begging for mercy. We want mercy without justice. Mercy follows judgment. Mercy follows judgment. I don't know where that is, but I know that's true. And more than anything, I hate to tell you this, America's being judged. We need judgment. Why do we need judgment? Because mercy follows it. You can't walk into a courtroom and be declared released until there's a judgment that's come down. Mercy follows judgment. So a jury finds you guilty, and the judge pronounced the judgment. The jury found you guilty, and the judge pronounces the sentence. We need judgment. We need the sentence to come down so that God's mercy can come forward. I'm prompted by about seven different things this morning, looking at my own life and how I, anybody out there have your pet sins? The little ones that you hide, and they're not necessarily the big ones. But they're out there. And we're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account for all the deeds that we did in the flesh. We don't take it serious. Oh, we will when we stand before him, won't we? We'll take it serious then. We need to take it serious now. And to piggyback off what we spoke about yesterday, I really believe that if we are not having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but not exposing, if we are not exposing them, we're going to stand before the Lord, and he ain't going to be pleased. We are his emissary. So we are his ambassadors. We are his body. And we're not doing a very good job of it. Come on in, Joe Allen.
This is why I said, when you said, what was our greatest sins yesterday? It's reading the Bible and understanding it. Exactly what we're doing.
We're reading the Bible, and we pick and choose what we want to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? We pick and choose.
Man's interpretation.
Yep. Well, the Lord will wink and nod at that one, but he'll wink and nod at that one. Yeah. By the way, you don't not get to heaven because you've committed sins. You don't get into heaven because you haven't repented of those sins and you haven't applied the blood of Jesus Christ upon you.
Amen.
He's there to forgive us of our sins. But we got to stop him. We got to stop doing it. And we say, we want, Lord, forgive America for our abortions. Please, Lord, forgive us for our abortions. And he says, I will when you stop him. I will when you stop him. Lord, please forgive us for what we've done to marriage, how we've destroyed marriage. He says, I will when you correct it. You with me? We're not very good at that, are we? We're not very good at that.
Yes, I'm with you.
Come on in, Dale. Come on in, Dale, and then Larry.
Brother, absolutely spot on. What did John the Baptist say? He said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Saying you're sorry just makes you sorry. But godly sorrow changes our actions. And brother, there's nothing wrong with mercy ministry, but it's the balance, brother. Going to the clinic. And then I had to go to court with one of our people who go to the clinic that got falsely charged. I mean, brother, that's what it's about. It's about, okay, yeah, we're going to feed them. We'll clothe them. We'll take care of that. But you know what? Let's go out and rescue those unjustly sentenced to death. Let's stand up against the Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the balance. And brother, you do that. Yeah, you do that. The people in this queue do this. But that's the difference. Some of these people have mercy because they love the pat on the back, but they won't step a foot on the battlefield.
Yeah, see, folks, listen. You don't do... I'm so proud of some of you guys and what you're doing out there. Chad and what he's got going on and how hard Randy works at and Betty Perkins. Listen, I'm not proud of it, Betty. The Lord's proud of it. But can I tell you what? That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Huh? That's what you're supposed to do. I was out yesterday splitting wood with my little grandson, David. We're splitting some firewood. And I asked him to come and help me. He said I'd pay him. And you know, the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, he ought to do that to serve you. You're his grandfather. You don't owe him anything. Now, I gave him some money, but you get the point, right? It's his duty to come and help his grandfather do that. Grandpa shouldn't have to pay him to come and do it. And so we're the same way in the body of Christ. We want rewarded. We want the applause of man. We want people to notice. We want approval. I won't speak out against homosexuality because people will write things about me, bad things, and they'll say bad things about me. I won't speak out against, pick your sin. I won't speak out against that, pride, whatever, because it'll make people mad. And so I end up loving myself more than I love them, loving the Lord. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, one of the things that I continue to say over and over that I get a lot of back push from especially those that still attend satanic social clubs, is the fact that Jesus' death on the cross does not cover our sins while we're Christians. It covers the sins of the world. The Bible says that so many times. And Jesus taught that the sins that we commit while we're Christians, if we want to be forgiven of those sins, we have to forgive our brothers and sisters of their sins against us. That is so clear, so conditional, so concise, you can't see it wrong unless you choose to be blinded to it.
You know, Larry, the Bible says that the Lord has given us the spirit of reconciliation. I'm talking to myself now. How many people out there are holding a grudge? You're holding a grudge. Say, well, he did me wrong. And when he comes and apologizes to me, then I'm going to forgive him. But I'm not going to forgive him until he comes and apologizes to me. Well, you've been given the spirit of reconciliation. You have been. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some people that who I think have done me wrong. They probably think I did them wrong. And I sit around and wait for them to make reconciliation. Bible says that spirit's been given to me, that I should be reconciled. How many of you out there are fighting? How many of you out there are disassociated, out of fellowship with family members? And you expect them to reconcile? You've been given the spirit of reconciliation, not them. You have been. But see, when we get right, I'm digging deep now, get your shoes on. Because when you get out there, your pride comes up and says, well, I'm not going to, he did me wrong. He laughed at me and he did not, but I'm not going to. If he says something, I'll forgive him. Or, well, I like to say this. Oh, I've forgiven him, but I just won't talk to him. Oh, then you haven't forgiven him. Because your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. You've convinced yourself that you've forgiven. And those are the things that are most important. As Larry said, your brother, not necessarily the lost world. You understand the lost world are a-holes because they're lost. But your family members? You say, well, Coach, my family members are lost. Well, I understand that. But you have the spirit of reconciliation, not them. God's given it to you. Come on, Susan.
Holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
That's what we do. That's what we do. It's hard, man. It's pride. It's amidst the pride. Joe and Dale.
Yeah, John Bevere wrote an excellent book exactly this topic, The Bait of Satan, about being offended and how it sinks the ships of so many Christians who think they're sailing on God's seas in his boat. They're not. They've sunk.
They have. Right. Give it to us, the spirit of reconciliation. Jesus said, first go be reconciled to your brother. First go be reconciled.
When my marriage hit the rocks, the big one of the things I caught myself doing was changing my prayers, and the people that offended me, I was getting, I said, no, I can't do that. And I've kept my prayer life the same. The whole of all of my wife's family and my family, everything is the same, because I have to keep my love where it is. And I can only build my half of the bridge. You know, I can't go on their island without their permission. But I can do in me and pray for them as I always have.
As if you were in good relationship with him, right? Because you exactly. want what's good for him. You yep. want. Yep. Amen.
Dale, easy, come on. But...
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying it wasn't easy, but
no,
I know it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Come on, Dale, then Roger.
Yeah, brother, let me tell you what. You said something there, you know, just because we become Christians, all of a sudden we no longer. Brother, you know my sister. When I went out to California to do her wedding and I was at the church service that morning, I said, that was the deal. You had to come to the church service. God smote me. Brother, he smote me. I had to repent to her because I stole her money. I stole her drugs. I crashed her cars. Brother, that's the day she got saved. That's the day my niece got saved. And you know her, brother, she ain't stopped burning for Jesus since. So just because we become a Christian, when God reveals to you something you did to somebody in the past, you reconcile that.
Amen, brother. Amen. Roger.
You know, Dave, one of the things I've often wondered and struggled with is there's probably two or three people that, you know, have hurt me over the years. And it doesn't bother me anymore. I feel like I have forgiven them. I just don't want to be around them anymore. I don't want to, I've chosen that friendship is not going to develop further. And I don't know if that's healthy. I don't know if I'm hiding something. When we seek forgiveness, can you do it without going to that person and talking to them? Can you do it internally between yourself and our God? Or is there a scriptural requirement when that harm has been done and you've been hurt to go to that person?
I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. That's tough, right? When you're out of relationship, you're out of relationship. It's hard to go because they have resentment towards you as well, right? So you got two of you biting at each other, right?
Well,
I think personal repentance is necessary. Myself, I think it is.
Does the personal repentance, that is a internal thing within our own heart that we can let that person go and let that harm go without necessarily having a face-to-face. Is that fair to say? Is that scriptural?
I think it is. See, Roger, I use the illustration again. I'm not a theologian. But I remember when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he had just a chapter before got himself in trouble because he said, I have the power to forgive sins. You guys all remember that? He really ticked off the Pharisees and it ended up getting him crucified because he said, I have the power to forgive sins. And then there he is hanging on the cross. And what does he cry out? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, I forgive them. We know he had the ability to do it, but he didn't do it. And I think that forgiveness cannot come without a personal apology of reconciliation. Now, whether they accept the apology or not, that's up to them. But the only way that you can be reconciled to your brother is to be able to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And then the ball's in his court. That's what I would say, Roger. Whether you ever be best buddies again or, we all have people who've moved in and out of our lives for various reasons. And there's a difference between being forgiven and being my confidant. Those are not the same. Veronica.
I asked that question, Dave. Yes. I don't want to appear before my God on my final judgment day where he says, you didn't properly forgive. Why did you not forgive this person? I think it's a very important issue because I think it's in Matthew. It pretty clearly says, you don't forgive, I don't forgive you. Yeah. So the concept of forgiveness, I think, is a very important thing to get it right.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get it right because we have that carnal heart, that carnal nature. I think come on, you mean to tell me that you wouldn't carry resentment from somebody stole your girlfriend when you're in the 12th grade? You still see that person, you still don't like him, right? Come on. So he doesn't ask us to be superhuman or perfect. He said, although he didn't say be perfect, I don't know, man. I don't know. I got something else I got to get to here real quick. Go ahead, Veronica. Tell me a story, not your life story.
I was just going to agree with Roger, and I had a question. Like every single day I say, God, Lord, I forgive them. Help me to forgive them. But what about toxic relationships? If every time they come over your house, they cause discord and fights and who knows what, like there's got to be a line of, hey, I don't want you in my life anymore for reasons.
Set the atmosphere before they get there. That's what I would say. Take authority over that atmosphere before they come walking in your door. I don't have any other answer for you other than that. Go ahead, Jeff and Reggie.
Yeah, for my existence on this planet, I've been hurt and stuff this way. To prevent the trigger of the memory, I've actually, even though I'll never see them again, or they've been different part of the state or different part of the world, I forgive them. And to release the emotion that I feel from the past. So I forgive them and give it to the Lord and let him deal with it.
Yep, I'd say, Lord, help me forgive him. Help me forgive him, Lord. You have to handle this one. Reggie? Betty?
Good morning. Yeah, Roger, I just want to offer some sisterly help maybe. It's just for me personally, about 5 years ago, the Lord had me writing letters to people and looking them up on Facebook. And my letters consisted of whatever we had, may you forgive me. But you don't have to reply. I just have to get this. The fact that you're mulling over it still means the Lord's still speaking to your conscience. That's my advice, because I don't have any problem now that I wrote those letters.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, when you see somebody that you've held a grudge for, that's the initial thing that'll come up in your heart. Come on, let's be honest, right? You got to cast that thing down. If you want to forgive, you got to act like you're forgiven. Betty, then Janine, then Steve, then nobody else. Then I want to go to someplace else. Go ahead, Betty.
Good morning. Yeah, I want to say after I went through the crap with my brother, I actually said I was sorry to people because I was sorry how things went, because I need a peace in my heart. Because if you don't say sorry, it just hangs there and hangs there. And you just want to kill somebody and it's not even worth it. Right. So no matter how strong you plan to be, you can never subdue the pain that comes with the grudges you refuse to let go.
That's right. That's it. Exactly. Say you're sorry and just try to work that salvation out with fear and trembling. Janine, then Steve.
Sins go to God and faults go to one another. And Roger, if you're feeling bad, I don't know what the situation is for any of you, but if you start praying for that person, it takes all the heaviness off you, and just leave it at that.
You become intimate with whom you pray, for whom you pray, and to whom you pray. That's a tough one, man. If you can't pray for somebody, that tells you something about your heart, doesn't it? It does. Steve, come on in.
Yeah, I had disdain or hatred or resentment for, and I took to the Lord, and I forgave them. And the next time I saw those two individuals, there was a shift in the spirit, and we were able to be cordial and get past it. And with the one individual, our relationship has improved immensely. So take it forward, ask for and let him do it.
Doesn't mean they're going to be your best friend for the rest of your life, does it, friends? Doesn't mean that. And how many times in your own life have you found out somebody's mad at you for something that you did and you didn't even know it? You didn't even know you did it. So, oh, yeah, you said, but don't you remember when you cut her off in traffic 4 years ago? What? Yeah, you cut him off. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Well, he thinks you did. Right? Come on, man. Give each other some slack. Okay, hey, listen, I want to change gears real quickly, I think. Oh, I got to show this. Pull up Franklin Graham. I'm not insinuating anything, friends. I saw this today. Franklin Graham just had heart surgery. Mayo Clinic undergoes heart surgery at the Mayo Clinic. And it's interesting. They say that it was started having recent issues. Evangelist Franklin Graham successfully underwent specialized heart surgery on Monday to treat a condition that developed in recent months. Now, I'm not going to read anything into this, right? But if this is a result of a vaccine, does Franklin Graham have a responsibility to stand up and say so? And what would you think the odds are that this probably had something to do with it? Now, going up a little bit farther, let's read the article. Oh, I hear some of you loving Franklin Graham. I love him too. I love him too. He's in a public position. He's impacting a lot of people. In recent months, according to the news release, the son of the late evangelist Billy Graham had developed constrictive pericarditis, inflammation, and hardening of the sac around the heart that compresses the heart and prevents it from working properly. Now, somebody asked, help me, isn't that the signs? Isn't that the signs of the vaccination?
Yes.
I pray for Franklin Graham. I pray that God heals him. I pray that he continues doing what he's supposed to do, but he needs to tell us the truth. Now, wait a minute. Maybe he didn't get a vaccination. Maybe it isn't about vaccinations. He needs to tell us the truth about not putting that thing in the temple of God. Anybody think I'm wrong? Anybody think I'm wrong?
Not at all.
All right.
No, you're right on.
All right. I pray he's healthy as a horse. I don't speak damnation upon him at all. Graham serves as the president of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Wow. Okay, hey, let me get to some good news because we're winning. Everywhere you look around, we're winning, man. We're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. I'm pumped up. We're winning so much. Like Donald Trump said, I get tired of all the winning. Our good friend Craig, who has too many zeros for me, put me onto something called What Are the Stakes? Put it down there, Spencer, and then put this link in the chat. What are the stakes? And I got this package from Craig. I thought, what? What are the stakes? Well, here's what they are. I got one. A book comes with it. The book is What are the Stakes? And this is something that we've talked about at Sky High and different areas about walking and marking your property. And so I'm just kind of giving you the Cliff Notes version of it here. The gentleman, I can't remember his name. It tells us right there. Help me out here. I ought to tell his name because he would. Thank you, Steve Hemphill, because he would say mine if he's doing it. Wrote a book, What Are the Stakes? And what they've done on, he just started out on a whim from the Lord, and he started writing. He started out by taping scripture verses on his stakes. He would get a regular stake, and he would put a scripture verse on the stake, and he went out and he staked it in the ground. Actually, he staked his property. And when he put this, like on this scripture verse, it says, it's got 16 scripture verses on it. This one says, if I can get my eyes to work here, well, my eyes won't work because I need better light. There it is. Psalm 2, 2 Samuel 22, 3, Psalm 7, 1 through 10, Nehemiah 4, verse 9, Isaiah, 16 of them, scriptures. And then he has testimonies of people who've done this, who have staked their property, and then suddenly the atmosphere in their family and in their home radically changed. So I'm making you folks all aware of this, that this might be something that you would want to do. It's not overly expensive. It's like $20, I think. But click on Buy Today, Spencer. Buy Today, and it gives you four stakes. There it is. What are the stakes? For $30, so it's partially a donation, you get the guy's book and four stakes, and it tells you how to go out and stake your property. That it becomes literally a, what would I say, a barrier from evil forces and evil spirits to be able to get into your property. Now, wait a minute. You can open it up and let them in. You can continue to watch your pornography, and this stake isn't going to do you any good, right? So you can't just stay, put a stake in the ground and say all those temptations and everything are going to go away. But if you pound these in the ground, like when we went up to Sky High, we salted the property and we put holy water around the property. I told Michelle, I'm going to go up. Those of you who know our property, thank you, Craig, for sending these to me. I'm going to go up to the far corner of Sky High. You guys know where I'm pointing at, down by the road. And I'm going to walk clear back to the far end of the woods of Sky High and drive a stake in there. And then I'm going to walk clear down the far end of my son-in-law and daughter's property who connects to it, 50 acres. And I'm going to drive a stake in at the corner of theirs. And I'm going to drive a stake in at the other corner of theirs, because as the patriarch of the family, I have authority over all those children. And I'm going to do the same thing in all of my children's homes, and I'm able to do it because Craig Mickle sent it to me. Craig, I see you in there. Come on in here a little bit, Craig, if you want to add something to this. These are called What Are the Stakes? Boys and girls, what are the stakes? Huh? What are the stakes that we're in right now? Go ahead, Craig.
Well, Coach, you know, like I text you, my heart goes out for you and your family, because I know how Satan works, and he knows he can't get you in certain areas, but he knows he can hit your heart, you know, a little Declan and all the other things that happened to your family this last year when we started really going after the high places.
Yes, sir.
And that just rings in my heart. That's why I sent it to you. But the gentleman there has a website, and he puts the verses on there. He doesn't care about selling you stakes. He says, you can copy my verses down. Here's how you do it.
So make your own stakes if you want to. Yeah, so you can make your own stakes.
Get your own stakes. And I give credit to Steve Deck, because Steve Deck came up with that. And when we went to the four boundary stones back in September 15th, back in D.C., I never even thought about that. You know, I remember Randy brought those rocks when we went to, you know, but we just don't think about these things. And Randy went back and he put his hands on the gates of Hillary Clinton's, and then look what happened the next day.
Yeah.
It's nothing magical. It's spiritual. Just going back and saying authority, right? It's like, Lord, we're done with this and we need your help.
That's right.
So that's all it is. But I want to just, Coach, I sent you that link, and maybe you'll put it on there. There's a lady that interviewed Steve Hemphill, and she went out and said, Lord, I want Herndon, Virginia to be given back to you. Herndon, Virginia is outside Washington, D.C., in Fairfax County. Okay, remember when we went to G's house? Remember all the signs that we saw? Bar? Okay, there's not much conservatism out there. But anyways, this is what's interesting. Herndon is in Fairfax County, all except 2 acres. It's like a 4 by 4 square mile town. Okay. So she went and staked this property. Well, you know, the Loudoun County School Board got in this big tough up and made national news. They're the ones that took the cat out of the hat, out of the library, all this kind of stuff. All that happened. Okay. But it made Terry McCullough have to address that in a public forum towards the end. And what he said is he thinks the school board should have make the decisions for the children and not the parents. And that was his death knell. And what I'm just trying to say is, even though that lady staked Herndon, city of Herndon, Virginia, which is in Fairfax property, 2 acres of it was in Loudoun County. And that was the decision that flipped the election.
Amen.
Amazing.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay, folks. Got that. Now, listen, I got something else. We'll put it in the link. Randy, I'll get to you in a second. I promise. Reggie and Dennis need our help. Short story. Listen to this. Short story. Dennis is military employed through the military. We all know what's coming down with the vax and all that kind of stuff. And there are a bunch of people who want to stand against it, even in the military. And Dennis and Reggie are right at the heart of all of it. And Reggie asked for a few minutes to explain what's going on and what we all can do to help. So, Reg, come on in and shoot that out there for us real quickly, dear.
I actually, Dennis is going to be the liaison for Tiny Heart, so he can explain it to you better than I can, even though I am involved in the background administratively.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Just real quick, I mean, I have 26 years of military service, and, you know, I've moved around to different units. I'm trying to keep this short for you. You know, so this is my first drill in my new unit, and literally 6 hours into it, the commander puts me in his office and says, you need to do this or, you know, basically we're going to kick you out. But so I need to get the word out to all military members. I don't care what branch, I don't care what your component is, reserves, active duty, whatever. If you've already been separated, or if you're, you know, in the process of being separated, if you just want to push back against this shot and you know, hold the military accountable to the Constitution, because we've been fed lies for years and years and years, go to tinyheartsbrigade.org, look for the About Us and then the Join Us tab, and maybe we can get that in the chat. And then also tinyheartsbrigade@gmail.com. Because if we can get the numbers, we have the ear of a prominent congressperson that is going to go to the Hill and actually, you know, help the veterans. So we also have civilians in Tennessee and some other places that are trying to organize this and go, you know, to get this organized. But we're trying. I need numbers. I need to know who's in this fight.
So Dennis has already made contact with a congressman who wants to fight on their behalf, but they're not going to fight for two people. They're not going to fight for three. So if you have a family member who's in the military and doesn't want to take the jab, contact Dennis through the tinyheartsbrigade.com. Is it .com?
.org.
Tinyheartsbrigade.org, and register. Say, hey, I'm in. I want to fight this thing. Is that what you need him to do, Reggie? Dennis, is that what you guys need him to do right now? We'll talk some more about this tomorrow. This is folks, they're going to destroy our military. They're going to destroy our military. This is huge.
Get it out to concerned veterans for America.
Well, you can help do that. You guys need to work your network. See, we can't just count on the people here within the queue. You got to work your networks, right? So, Dennis, Reggie, would we tell them for the children to go to the tinyheartsbrigade.org? That's where you want people to go and sign up. How do they share information on this, Reggie?
I'm going to work on that today. Okay. We have a flyer that we're making. Okay. We also have an attorney that is working with us.
Okay. So this is
really important.
Folks, we're just making you aware of this. We'll get to it more tomorrow, okay? But I want all of you to be aware of it. And if you're military, any form, doesn't matter what it is, family in the military, they need you to say, yeah, I don't want to do it either. That's what we're looking for right now at this point, okay? Cool. Randy, come on in. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, Reg.
Coach, I want to tie this what they're doing with what you just spoke about, the stakes, Coach. We are putting stakes with Reggie and Dennis. We are, we are pounding stakes, Coach, in the ground and saying we will not comply. We are the kingdom of God. We have dominion over this evil. We don't need to do this. We're doing the same thing, Coach, as if we went and got the stakes and went around our land and drove them in the ground. This is the same thing. It's just we don't have the stones or the stakes. We're doing it as an act of faith, as a symbolic of a covenant. We have a covenant. That's why we do it. It's not a ritual, Coach. It's not something we can do to hope something happens. It is faith in God, His Majesty, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that this He's the one showing forth the kingdom through this.
We're His priests, man, right? We're His church.
Amen.
Boy, if we could ever get a concept of who it is, who we serve, and what it is that He would really like to do to advance the kingdom of God on earth. So email Reggie and Dennis, and then we'll dig into this a little bit more tomorrow, because I know I stuck it in at the end, and I know we'll have more questions about it. Let's go on the offensive. Drive some stakes. Hey, friends, You don't have to buy them. Get some stakes of your own. You can go out and pray over them and bury them in the ground and declare that this, by the authority of Jesus Christ, this property is mine and it's off limits to the forces of darkness. And then stop opening up the portals on your own. All right. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.